Hey, welcome back to the Shift with Beth podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and I'm so glad you're here. It's been a little bit of time since I've done a solo episode. And so I'm really excited because today I want to talk about something that is really important. It's an important topic. I cover it a lot in the work that I do and in the work that I do with my clients and myself. And it's patterns. So I know you've probably heard that word, maybe you haven't. But I want to talk about it in a way that actually lands, like not just a concept, but as something you can feel and recognize in your life. And if you want to, most importantly, change them. And this topic matters so much because I lived the majority of my life completely unaware that I even had patterns. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know I was operating from them. I just thought, this is how I am. This is how I am in relationships in life. This is how I handle things. This is just me. And because I didn't know any different, I just kept repeating these cycles, the same dynamics in relationships, the same ways of showing up or not showing up for myself. And it's like this quiet exhaustion of always managing, always adjusting, always making sure everyone else is okay before I even thought about what I needed. And I didn't know there was another way because no one ever taught me this. No one sat me down and was like, hey, you know the way that you're living? A lot of that isn't actually you. It's a set of responses your nervous system learned when you were young to survive, trying to be loved, trying to feel safe, trying to be enough. And so when the realization finally came, it was really profound and also kind of disorienting because on the one hand, it's a little bit devastating to think like, this is why I've been a people pleaser my whole life. This is why I've put everyone's needs before my own. This is why I haven't felt like enough or that I've deserved the things in my life. It's just because it's completely unconscious for so long. But then on the other hand, it's also very freeing because these patterns were learned, and that means that they can be unlearned. And so that's where the work lives. And that's the thing I get to help people do. And I cannot tell you enough how rewarding it is to watch someone have that moment that, oh my gosh, I've been doing this my whole life. This is why. And then watch them start to actually change it. Watch the confidence that comes from knowing yourself that deeply, watching the freedom that comes from realizing that you're not your patterns. You are so much more than these survival strategies that you've built, and they're built around fear. And this is what I want for you. So, this is what I want today's episode to be about. Whether you're brand new to this work or you've been on the path for a long time, we're going to start at kind of the beginning. Because I think the word patterns gets thrown around a lot in the healing world. And a lot of times we're just like, yeah, I know what that means. But I want to actually define it, give it a foundation. Because for me, when I finally understood what patterns truly were in my life, it changed so much. So let's get into it. A pattern is a response that your nervous system learned to repeat because at some point it worked. That's really it. So it's not proof that something is fundamentally broken about you. It's a response your body learned, usually when you were young, usually in environments where you needed to adapt to feel safe or loved or accepted. And then these patterns, they keep running automatically long after the original situation is done. So you can think of it kind of like software that got installed in your childhood. So it runs in the background quietly, shaping your decisions, your relationships, and also your inner dialogue. And you don't even know that it's there because it feels like you, because it was developed so early. And that's what makes patterns so hard to see. It's not like they announce themselves. They just become automatic. Like you didn't consciously decide, I think I'll spend my life abandoning my own needs so other people don't leave me. Or I think I'll overexplain myself because deep down I'm afraid of being misunderstood. Or I think I'll stay quiet because conflict feels like danger. No, we don't just decide those things. Our body learns them. our nervous system comes online, adapts, and eventually it just becomes who you thought you were. So most patterns are created when we're younger, trying to navigate these environments where we didn't feel fully emotionally safe or seen or chosen or protected. And so every nervous system adapts differently. Some people become people pleasers because keeping others happy made it so there wasn't as much tension. Some people become hyper independent because relying on others felt disappointing or unsafe, or when they did rely on others, it was very painful and traumatic. Some people become perfectionists. Hello, me, because achievement got them a lot of validation that they were starving for. Some people become caretakers because they learned that their worth came from what they could do for others. Many people emotionally shut down because when they expressed themselves, it wasn't safe. And lots of us are chronic overthinkers because our brain learned that scanning for danger was how we stayed safe and protected. So what's so hard about this? What I think is one of the biggest revelations in the healing process is that a lot of these patterns get praised by society. The overgiver, they're so selfless. The hyper-independent person, and they're so strong. The perfectionist gets rewarded, gets attention. And people-pleasers get called kind many times. But internally, this is where exhaustion builds. A lot of people don't even know what patterns actually feel like because we just are experts at monitoring everyone else first. So I want to be really specific here because I think when people hear people-pleasing or fawning, they can understand it and still not recognize it in themselves. So let me tell you what it actually looks like in everyday life. It's saying yes immediately before you've had a second to check in with yourself about whether you actually want to say yes. It looks like replaying conversations for a long time after they happen, wondering if you said the wrong thing, if it came across wrong, if someone else is upset with you. It's feeling physically anxious when someone is disappointed in you or not wanting to disappoint someone, doing everything you can to not disappoint. So not just uncomfortable, but anxious, like something bad is going to happen because of it. It's feeling responsible to fix the energy in the room. How often have you done this? Like someone walks in and you can feel like they're the tense energy and immediately you're figuring out how you can fix that and lighten it. It's when you over-explain your boundaries. So not just stating it, but justifying it, softening it, making sure the other person isn't upset by it. Because a lot of times boundaries just are so uncomfortable because we're not used to setting them. It's feeling guilty, resting. When other people are working, like it's not okay for you to rest if everyone else can't also. It's confusing being needed with being loved, staying in situations because you feel useful. It's apologizing for things that don't require an apology, apologizing for your feelings, apologizing for taking a space. This is a huge one. Something I see in other people constantly, and I'm constantly being like, you have nothing to apologize for. Have you noticed how much you're saying sorry? Right? Have you noticed that in yourself? It's becoming whoever you need to be, depending on who you're around. So shifting your opinions, your energy, your personality, almost without realizing it, to fit and to try to belong. It's feeling genuinely uncomfortable when someone cares for you without you earning it. When someone is just kind to you for no reason, and your first instinct is to wonder what they want. It's craving closeness, but panicking when you actually get it. So let's slow down for just a second. I want to invite you to just take a breath here. Because if any of those hit, if your chest got a little tight, if you felt a little activation or something and you went, oh, that's totally me, I just want you to notice it. You don't have to do anything with it right now or try to get rid of whatever you might be experiencing. Just notice where you felt it. in your chest and your stomach and your throat? Did you hold your breath a little at any moment? And that noticing and slowing down is where the work can start. Because underneath all the patterns is usually one core fear. If I fully become myself, will I still be loved? And here's what I want to bring in, like something that completely shifted how I understood all this. And it comes from my training in somatic experiencing, which I've talked about a lot. If you're new here, it's a body-based approach to healing trauma developed by Dr. Peter Levine that I'm trained in. Because what people don't realize is that patterns don't live in your mind. They live in your body. That's why you can listen to things and read things. You can understand things, right? Intellectually, you can understand things. But when someone sends you like a slightly cold text or suddenly you're spiraling or you're trying to figure out what you did wrong, that's not a knowledge thinking problem. That's a nervous system problem. Your nervous system has a survival strategy. So when it perceives threat, even a perceived threat, even just a tone of voice or a look from someone, it then mobilizes a response: fight, flight, freeze, fawn. Which, if you haven't listened to my nervous system podcast episode, I think that was my last solo episodes a few back. It's a really great just educating on the nervous system. So inviting you to go back and listen to that. So fawning. Something I talk about a lot is when your nervous system learns the safest thing to do is to make yourself agreeable, easy. It looks like being nice. It looks like keeping the peace. In a lot of environments, especially for women, it gets rewarded and praised. But underneath fawning is fear. It's a nervous system that learned, if I manage everyone else's feelings, I'll be safe. Right? I don't want to be too much. I don't want to cause any kind of disruption, or I might get left or abandoned. And because this lives in the body, the part that formed long before you had words for any part of this, it doesn't respond to logic. So when the part gets activated, it doesn't, like, it just runs the old program. And that's why patterns are so persistent. It's literally neurobiology, it's not weakness. And so, what somatic experiencing teaches us is that healing has to happen at the level of the nervous system, not the thinking mind. You have to create new experiences in the body, not just new thoughts in your head. You have to help your nervous system learn slowly and repeatedly that a new way of being is actually safe. Now, I want to talk about relationships because I think this is where patterns become impossible to ignore and where so much of the confusion and pain actually lives. And here's something I say to my clients a lot. You can only hide your patterns for so long because relationships activate the nervous system. So you can be managing your patterns in daily life, functioning, keeping it together. And then you can get into an intimate relationship, and suddenly everything you thought you'd work through is right there at the surface. Because relationships require vulnerability. If you want intimacy, you need vulnerability. And when your nervous system spent years learning to protect you, it can see vulnerability as a threat. And this is why healthy love can feel wrong at first. Not because it is wrong, but because it's unfamiliar. So if you grew up in an environment with where there was emotional unpredictability or inconsistency, your nervous system calibrated to that. So that becomes your baseline for what love feels like. So then, when someone shows up consistently, kindly, there's no chaos, it can feel kind of flat, boring, or like something is missing. And people sometimes walk away from genuinely good relationships because the calm doesn't feel familiar. It doesn't feel like love. It doesn't create the same nervous system activation that they're used to. And so that's why, a lot of people mistake nervous system activation for chemistry. The anxiety of not knowing where you stand, the relief when someone cold suddenly turns warm, the constant uncertainty. And that's not passion. That's a trauma response that feels familiar. So receiving care, real, consistent, uncomplicated care, can actually feel so uncomfortable and even threatening because your nervous system just isn't used to that yet. And that's why receiving is often so much harder than giving. Giving keeps you in a role that you understand, that you're used to. Giving keeps you safe. Receiving means trusting. And if that trust was broken early, or even, in a long-term marriage, it becomes difficult to receive even more later. So I want to share like a personal story, kind of a pattern I've been actively working on in my own life, because I think a lot of you may be able to recognize it in yourself. I have this deep discomfort around having things that other people don't have. Joy, abundance, good things in my life. And if I'm experiencing something beautiful, there's a part of me that immediately feels guilty. Like I don't deserve it unless everyone has it. Like fully enjoying it makes me selfish somehow, like I'm bragging. And this pattern shows up in more areas of my life than I even realized. So it's shown up in my relationship and how hard it has been to receive love and care without immediately deflecting or wanting to make it smaller or even wanting to not have it at all. It also shows up in my visibility online. There have been things that I've genuinely wanted to share about my relationship, my life, the joy I've been building, but I've held back because this is a big part of me that feels bad that others might not have what I have. And so I've stayed a little quieter than I wanted to. I've second-guessed on sharing different things. And honestly, it's a big block for me right now that I'm working through. So I want to share a story because receiving has been a hard thing for me, but I've also done a lot of work around it. So a year ago, Mother's Day was my first Mother's Day with Randy. And like he went all out, cooked breakfast, cooked dinner, made sure my kids had gifts for me. And I was so appreciative. I genuinely was so appreciative, but I was also so uncomfortable that like literally when I woke up in the morning, I was like, I'm going to hot yoga alone. Not that I can't do that, but like I hadn't been planning on it, but I wanted to escape because I didn't want to be around while he was doing all this stuff for me. I didn't know how to just be in it. And I also remember just wanting the day to be over so I could stop being so uncomfortable. And that's the pattern right there. Someone loving me well and me finding a way to not fully receive it. So I've been working on this so for the past year on receiving, on trusting. And let me tell you, Randy's the same way. So we've been working on letting ourselves receive, letting good things in, right? Working through the guilt that comes up. And I didn't realize how much work I'd done until I just had this past Mother's Day. This year was night and day. And it was still a little uncomfortable for me, but the difference was I was able to be in it and receive. And it was probably the most beautiful Mother's Day I ever had. And I was actually going to create a reel or talk about this online, but why didn't I? Because I didn't want to. I felt bad sharing that or feeling like I was bragging or I don't want to make it sound like my life is so perfect and, all the things. That's my pattern showing up in real time. But this Mother's Day, I was just able to receive and enjoy and really be just, I was just my kids. So, being in a blended family is beautiful. And also there's some difficulty in missing just being with my kids sometimes, right? And so being okay to just love that it was just me and my kids with my man, right? And I, having two adult daughters not living in my home with me, I miss that. I miss having all my kids under one roof. And so I got to have all my kids here. And, Randy made sure that, helping them financially with being able to put like a beautiful basket of beautiful things together for me. And my favorite part was the card my kids all wrote, the most beautiful words to me, like thought out. And I just sat there and I read the card and I just cried. They were just sharing the most beautiful things with me. Like I feel emotional just sharing it with you. And it felt so good to let myself receive that, to trust that what Randy was doing for me, what my kids were doing for me, the time they were spending with me was because they wanted to. And I just let myself feel it and love it and not feel bad about it. And it was just a really profound experience for me to feel this difference in my body, to allow myself to receive this. And this is what healing does. It's just so beautiful. It's not something to apologize for, your joy, right? But you have to do the work to be able to let that in. So I want to talk about the identity piece. This is a part that doesn't get talked about enough because a lot of times people know their patterns. They may have done some therapy or coaching or read books or heard of it, and they can name them, but they still don't know how to change them. And a lot of time it's because their patterns have become their identity. If you've spent your whole life being the strong one, the one who holds it together, takes care of everyone, who doesn't need much, who handles everything, that becomes who you are. And so people rely on you for it and you get praised for it. It becomes how you understand your own value. So when you start to heal that, when you start letting yourself need things, asking for help, it being okay when you're not okay, you can feel a little bit like you're losing yourself. If I'm not constantly helping everyone, who am I? If I'm not performing, will people still choose me? If I stop being who everyone else wants me to be, will I lose relationships? And the honest answer, sometimes yes. For me, very much yes. Sometimes when you stop being who everyone needed you to be, some people don't stay. And that's its own kind of grief. But the relationships that stay when you become more yourself, those are the real ones. Those are the ones that are authentic, built on your authenticity and truth, not on a version of you that was working to be lovable, that was making themselves small. So let's talk about breaking the pattern. Sometimes people think healing is just this peaceful thing that you meditate and you journal, and one day you just wake up so free. But real healing is deeply uncomfortable. Yeah, I call it the work. It's not called the work for nothing, people, right? So your nervous system doesn't care if something's healthy. It cares if something's familiar. So rewiring the nervous system doesn't always feel safe, right? Sometimes familiar means chaotic, and familiar means not available, and familiar means used to walking on eggshells, and familiar is proving your worth over and over again. So when you start changing these patterns, your body can literally interpret it as danger. When you stop people-pleasing, you feel guilty. When you set a boundary, you feel anxiety. When you stop over-explaining, you feel so exposed. When you say no, your body panics. When you start receiving, it feels uncomfortable. When you speak up after years of being quiet, your voice can shake. And this is where people quit because they think this feels uncomfortable. This must be wrong. This is too much work. But what I want to tell you is uncomfortable doesn't mean wrong. Sometimes it just means it's unfamiliar right now. Your nervous system has to literally learn a new reality, a reality where love doesn't require self-abandonment, where rest can feel safe, where your needs do matter, and where you don't have to earn your worth or prove yourself to anyone. This takes repetition. It takes catching yourself in the moment. Noticing, I'm over-explaining right now because I'm scared. I'm saying yes when I want to say no. I'm making their feelings more important than my truth. I'm abandoning myself again. So instead of shaming yourself, you pause and just recognize. Shame keeps these patterns alive, and self-compassion creates the safety for them to change. So I want to talk about discernment. And this is where discernment comes in, and I think it's one of the most underrated tools in this process. Discernment is the ability to pause and ask, is this true or is this just familiar? So it's that gap between the pattern coming online and acting on it. It's that split second where you can get curious instead of reacting. So here's what discernment sounds like in real life. Is the guilt I'm feeling right now real, or is my nervous system just reacting to something new? Is this situation actually dangerous, or does it just feel dangerous because it's unfamiliar? Am I saying no because I genuinely don't want this? or because receiving makes me uncomfortable? Is this person actually unsafe, or are they just consistent and available, and that's not what I'm used to? Am I pulling back because something's wrong, or because something is really good and I don't know how to hold it yet? I don't have the capacity. And that last one is the one I needed on Mother's Day last year. Discernment is what turns awareness into choice. Without it, you notice the pattern and get swept away in it. With it, you have a moment to decide, do I want to act from this, or do I want to choose differently? So here's the framework I want you to remember. Awareness tells you the pattern exists. Desire means you actually want to change it. And then discernment is the real-time tool that makes change possible. So every time you use it, every time you pause and get curious and choose from your own truth instead of fear, you're building a new neural pathway, literally in your brain. You're teaching your nervous system that it's safe to do this differently. And this takes practice. It's literally like reps. Reps, experiences. So when awareness meets your desire to change, this is where I love to tell, to teach to my clients, like this is where the universe starts showing up. And here's something big I've noticed in my own life and in every client that I've worked with. Once you become aware of your patterns and you genuinely want to change them, something shifts. Like life starts meeting you where you are. It's the coolest thing to watch and to witness in my own life. The opportunities to practice start showing up everywhere. And when I say opportunities, I mean, this is like discomfort for you. Okay. So it's like the conversation you have avoided, it finds you suddenly. Like you get to practice using your voice. The person who's triggering you, triggering the old pattern, they show up. And the times when you normally would shrink or make yourself small or adjust a message that's not fully authentic, a response, these kinds of things start to arrive, almost like it was sent as a little gift to you. And you can experience that as, why is everything so hard right now? This is so uncomfortable. Why is this coming up? Or you can experience it as, oh, this is my work. This is the next step. This is the next way for me to practice doing something different. And so I genuinely believe that when you have awareness and desire, when you're not just like curious about your patterns, but you actually want to be free of them, something opens up. Call it God, call it the universe, alignment, whatever resonates with you. But it's like something starts conspiring for your healing once you say yes to it. And I just have seen this over and over. And this doesn't mean the discomfort like disappears, but you start to get used to this kind of discomfort. It starts to feel different, less like punishment, more like practice, less like this is happening to you, and more like, oh, this is happening for me. This is so uncomfortable, but I know this is happening for me. And that shift in perspective changes everything. Once you start to break patterns and you feel the freedom from that, and you realize, oh my gosh, life gets to feel so different now. Sometimes grief can come up. And I'm not just talking about sadness, but like a grief that might surprise you. And sometimes it's anger, like a quiet, deep anger that rises up when you realize I deserved to live life differently. I deserve to be loved without having to earn it. I deserve to have a voice, to have needs. And that grief is for younger versions of you or past versions of you that were just trying to survive, doing everything right, following the rules, scanning for danger, and still not getting what you needed back then. Sometimes it's grief for all the years you spent performing, all the energy that went into managing, adjusting, staying small, staying quiet, overgiving, when all you really wanted was to just be chosen as you were. And so I mention that grief because it's real. It deserves space. Inviting you to welcome it, right? Because that's part of the healing process too. Okay, so I want just to invite you to take a breath with me. If this episode brought something up for you, if you felt something in your body or you recognized yourself somewhere in some of my stories, if you got emotional, it's not an accident that you're here listening to this. There's something here for you and that your body might be telling you. And so I just want you to know that there is so much freedom on the other side of this work. I've lived it. I live it with my clients. I watch it all the time. And it's not from becoming a new person. It's from slowly and painfully sometimes unraveling these patterns that have kept you disconnected from who you already were underneath all the survival. Eventually, you can stop performing. You can stop shape-shifting depending on who's in the room. You can stop staying small so other people can feel more comfortable. You stop apologizing for things that you don't need to apologize for. And you stop needing other people's approval, external validation to feel like you're okay. And you actually start feeling so safe just being you. And that's truly what I want for every single person. So takeaway, next step. I just want to offer, like, before I let you go, I know this episode covered a lot and I don't want people to like walk away overwhelmed. So just inviting you to do this, pick one pattern, just one, not all of them. Think about which one shows up for you the most, like when you were listening, which one made you go, oh yeah, that's me. Which one might be costing you something in your life right now, costing you authenticity and peace and joy, and write it down, name it. I'm working on my pattern of self-abandonment, people-pleasing, staying small. Like, what is it for you? And then for the next few weeks, just notice it every time it shows up, right? Maybe you find yourself over-explaining, right? And just notice it without judgment and then start asking those discernment questions. Is this true or is this just familiar? And so when you catch yourself just pausing, that's the practice, right? That's you slowing down to show your nervous system something new. You don't have to do all of this at once. You don't have to heal everything this year. Pick a pattern and give it your real attention. And that's where transformation actually happens. Not in trying to fix everything all at once, but in going deep on one thing at a time. And if you need support doing this, if you want a container where you're not doing it alone, that's exactly what my Shift membership is for. I am loving this membership so much. We do this work together every month, twice a month. We go deep and you can get coaching. We do a little bit of breath work and so a lot of somatic tools. And it's just a very, very safe community of women that if you're feeling like you want to be a part of something like that, I would love to chat with you about it, to invite you to try it. Because yeah, you can do this work alone, but having support, having someone else be able to see and support you is truly everything. And you can find those details at shiftwithbeth.com. So if this episode hit something in you, I would love to hear about it. Seriously, come find me on Instagram at shiftwithbeth. Send me a DM. Tell me what landed, what you might have recognized in yourself. That kind of connection is honestly my favorite part of doing this. And I would love to connect with more of you. I read every DM and let's connect. So, and while you're here, I'd love to know what you've been thinking of, like the recent guest episodes too. Which conversations have you loved? Is there any topics you want to hear more of? Your feedback genuinely helps me so much. So don't hold back. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. Please share this episode with someone that you think it could help. And I'll see you all in the next episode.